that are here, turn to St. Luke, the second chapter. Meant to say the 11th verse of the second chapter of St. Luke. But anyhow, it's still God's word, and we're going to read. I'm reading from the King James Version. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen for the reading of God's word. I want to you to underline "you" in the 11th verse. Underline "you," born, and Savior. One of the things that I want to remind us, I'm always hearing that we need to remember that what Christmas is all about. We need to remember who Christmas is all about. We don't need to put Christ back in Christmas, because Jesus never left Christmas. I mean, sometimes, you know, people say, you know, things that, you know, you have to listen to the words. But Jesus never left Christmas. We tend to bury him underneath the wrappings and the hustle and bustle of the time of the season and drown him out with all of the noise, but he is present in the season. The question is he present in your life? But Jesus is still and will always be the reason for the season. And one of the things that I'm watching and I'm observing, we need to be careful in how we put a lot of emphasis to the children regarding Santa Claus. I'm sorry, but you have to be careful, because the trick of the enemy is to get you to not focus on Jesus and to get you focused on something that is not even real. So one of the things that in my studies that I was doing is, you know, I learned, you know, and that Jesus is much better than Santa Claus. But depending on your belief, either Jesus or Santa Claus is the main character of your Christmas. Of your Christmas. See, this is personal. Santa Claus is not the main character. Jesus is. See, supposedly, Santa Claus lives in the North Pole, supposedly. But see, Jesus is everywhere. See, Santa supposedly rides in a sleigh, but we have a God that can walk on water. Santa supposedly comes, you know, just once a year that we have him coming. Just once a year, but Jesus is ever-present help. And he says, "Lo, I am with you always. I will never leave you nor forsake you." So Jesus is our hope. He is my hope. See, when all seems lost, when the situation could not be worse, Jesus is my hope. Jesus, I'm here to tell you that he is much better than Santa Claus. And I'm going to get to what the scripture has for us, but I just want to point out, you know, when we get ready to order our food at restaurants, there's this thing now that we like to get these appetizers before the meal comes, something that you can get very quickly. And then till your meal comes, so I'm giving you some appetizers that will be beneficial to you, so when you get ready to get the meal, you'll be more satisfied. Something that kind of just hit that pain that you're having here just a little bit. But see, if you notice when I say Jesus is better than Santa Claus, you see, with Santa Claus, you have to stand in line. You all know what I'm talking about. You go to the malls, you see people standing in line. But see, Jesus is close as the mention of his name. There is a difference. See, Santa has little helpers that makes toys, that they say. But Jesus makes new life, mends wounded hearts, and builds mansions in heaven. Telling you, Jesus is much better than this Santa Claus. Santa fills your stockings with supposedly goodies. And if you've been naughty, he give you some coal. But Jesus satisfies your deepest needs. See, Santa is making a list and he's supposedly checking it twice. But Jesus has our name written in the Lamb's book of life. There is a difference between Jesus and Santa Claus. Santa, we say, has a belly like a bowl full of jelly. We've heard that. But let me tell you that Jesus has a heart full of love. Jesus is much better than this Santa Claus that you know. Santa says that you better not cry. But Jesus says, cast all of your cares on me, for I care for you. See, God wants you want us to pray to him and not write a list not write letters and all of that stuff to unrealistic people. See, there's a scripture that says that if we ask and not receive, then we ask with the wrong motives. So we're asking amiss. So what is the purpose? What is the reason for you asking this thing that you're wishing for, that you're wanting? Sometimes we ask for things and we have the wrong intentions of asking. God said, we have not because we ask not. But what is it that you're asking for? As we think back over the year, and there are some things that stand out that were exciting. Some things filled with goodness and love, but there are other things that make us shake our heads and wonder. You know, we heard the news of this tragedy that happened at this school. You know, this time of year, let me just say this. This time of year should be a year that you know, the leading up to Christmas and the reason for the season should be a feel-good time of year. Should be joy, laughter, singing. You know, it's giving praises to God. But none of these things, none of this changes the pain that we and the rest of the world are facing. You know, even as we celebrate Christmas today, people are still dying and they're hungry and they're in gunfire. And others are looking helplessly as a child dies. Others grieve the loss of a family member through the lack of medical help. And we're dealing with all of these tragedies that we see and we wonder, where is God? All right. We wonder, what is happening? And I heard somebody say that, boy, we need God. God, come and help us. You know, we need God in our schools. We need God there to protect the children. And then I've not that God said this, but somebody responded back and said that, well, remember, you kicked God out of school. You didn't want him there. But here we're dealing with all of this stuff that we see. And when we look at all of the tragedy, all of the stuff we see on the news, and we wonder why. Why? What is going on? But it was into this kind of world that Jesus was born.
All right.
The same thing that we're looking at today on TV, the same thing that we're facing today and that we see that's happening on the news is the reason why Jesus came. People were poor, oppressed, and killed by the Romans. Many children died before their first birthday. Children were killed by the soldiers of their own king, King Herod. And I wonder if Mary and Joseph ever wondered why. Why God would send a child into a place like Israel, a place where there was so much oppression, so much violence and death. This angel delivered a message straight from God himself that says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town, city of David, Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So I want to focus, if you don't mind, just for a few minutes and then I'll be out your way. I want to focus on the word you and the word born and the word Savior. Let's start with you. Here is God saying that he is giving you and me something, someone very special. God is coming down to earth to live among oppression, violence, and death, and poverty. Now you would say that is ungodlike to come down and live in filth. A God is supposed to be different, set apart, and separate from and separate himself and be removed from the grim and dirt of sin. Not supposed to be a part of this. But when God say you, in the announcement of the angels, he is indicating that what has happened in the birth of Jesus is something that is intimate. It is personal. And it is direct. This baby that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 some years ago is for you. You shepherds, for you. People of Bethlehem, for you. King Herod, even for him. For you, astronomers from the east. For you, Mary and Joseph. This is for you. For you, the world. For you and me, today. Jesus was born for you and me. Jesus, in Jesus, God is reaching out and touching us and saying, I know your life. I know how it can be. The things that you love and that make you happy, I know about that. And the things you struggle with and how hard it is, God is saying, I know all about you. So I'm not going to sit up here in heaven and remain unconnected from you. Because this is for you. He said, I'm not going to allow you to continue to live like this and not be reconnected with you. So you are absolutely, if you are absolutely convinced about God, if you are not sure about all this God stuff, and I'm saying God stuff, and are here because it is expected that you come today, if you haven't been here in church for a long time, God is saying to you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. God is pointing his finger at you. This is why I say you have to make this walk with Christ personal. See, when you make this walk with Christ personal, it will mean much more to you than you think it does. But we have to make this personal. There is no doubt to whom God is speaking when he says to you, and you, and you, and you, is born this day a Savior. God is speaking to us. This is why I love the Word of God so much, that it doesn't talk about color. He said, God so loved the world. That's everybody inclusive. It doesn't pick us out by race or by color. It said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That settles everything. That the world is all inclusive. So I love when God uses his words, and he uses his words very carefully. This is why he said, unto you is born. We weren't even born yet at that time. But God still said it's for you. It is a blessing that God saw a need to connect us back to him. And let me tell you something, it is very frustrating not to be connected. When you are trying to operate something and you are not connected, it will frustrate you. You will do everything you possibly think you know how to do to connect it, but then somehow you feel as though something is wrong somewhere. So then you start to check everything, and then checking everything, you think you checked it. But there's still a loose connection. So there's a loose connection somewhere that God said that they're not seeing it, and I need to reconnect it. Because they're walking around the connection that needs to be plugged into the source. And you have never overlooked something, and it's right there underneath your nose, but you just don't see it. Because you're right there on top of it. God is saying, I'm looking at what you're looking at, but you still don't see the connection. I remember some years ago when I lost connection with the cable company. And then losing the connection, it was frustrating to me. Because what I wanted to see, I wasn't able to see it because I was no longer connected. And by me not being connected, it frustrated me so bad to the point that I had to call the source. All right. And in calling the source, I had to tell them my problem. And in telling them my problem, they began to understand what could be going on. And in understanding what's going on, they began to diagnose my problem. And when they diagnosed my problem, they began to operate when I couldn't even see them operating. So they began to do things that she said, I'm getting ready to do something right now that you're probably going to see in a few minutes. And let me know if you see it. And she began to send a signal to my box. And in sending the signal to my box, she said, now tell me, what are you seeing now? Or is there anything happening? And I told her, I said, no, there's nothing really happening right now. And she said, well, let me try it again and let me know what you see and what you're hearing. And I need to know if we are getting this connection. So, and then she sent another signal. I said, well, it's still not working. And I said, it is still not connected. And she said, well, there is a problem because we need to get connected. And she said that if I can't get connected with you right here, right now on the phone, I got to send a technician to come out to your house to connect you to the source. All right. She said, I got to get you connected. You're a valued customer to us. You are important to us. You've been with us for a long time. And I need to connect you back to the source. But I need to get a technician out to your house to see what the problem is and to see how he can connect you back to the source. She said, I got to send him out. And I said, well, let me know
when you're going to send him. She said, well, he's going to come between 12 and 3. I don't know when his arrival is going to be, but just look out for him when he comes. I said, Lord, have mercy. I got to wait. That was a struggle in waiting on this technician to come. But let me tell you, soon and very soon, that technician came.
All right.
It wasn't long that technician came. And when he came, went immediately to the box, connected me to the source. Matter of seconds, he had me connected. It didn't take him a long time. It wasn't all day. All the technician did was step foot in the house and looked at the box, went to the box. I don't know what he did. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is that I was now connected and that I was happy and that I was feeling good. It doesn't matter to me how God was going to do it. All that matters to me is that he did it and that he connected me back to the Father. And all I know is that today I'm rejoicing and I'm feeling good about my life with him. I remember my Christmas. It wasn't on December the 25th, but it was in January of 94. When I got saved, that was my Christmas. You see, I received a gift from God that was so precious to me that it didn't matter whatever else I received in my life. It didn't mean much to me. Whatever else somebody may give me, I knew that in January of 94, when I accepted God as my Savior, Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I knew right then and there that I had something precious. As I said to you last Sunday, I told my wife, you don't have to buy me anything for Christmas because I'm still enjoying this gift that God has given me. I'm still looking at this gift. I'm still can get excited about this gift today that God has given me. I don't need something tangible, something that somebody can give me that it will corrupt. I don't even know and remember what I received for in January or what I received on Christmas. All I know is that I received a gift from God and it's still present with me today. I don't know all of the gifts that I received all these years. I don't know where they're at. Maybe they're at waste management. I don't know. But I do know what Jesus is. I do know what that gift is. That's all that matters to me right now. God is saying, I know all about your struggles. I know all about what you're doing. God is saying, have y'all ever noticed something when you have a field that is full of birds? Have you ever walked towards that field of birds and the birds fly away? They just fly away. As soon as you start walking towards, they fly away. And you're like, man, wow, this fly away from you. See, and imagine with me for a moment. Put on your thinking cap. My mother used to tell me when I was in school, son, I need you to put your thinking cap on. And it was something that would really make me think I was thinking. So I would put my thinking cap on. So I'm asking you today, put your thinking cap on with me. Imagine you being God and the birds being the people. And here it is, God walking towards us. And we fly away. We walk away from God. God is saying, man, I'm trying to get close. But every time I walk towards you, you walk away. You fly away. God is saying, I need to get close to you. So the only way that I can get close to them, I need to transform myself into a bird. If I can transform myself into a bird, then they won't fly away from me. They won't walk away from me. So God, imagine with me for a moment that he transformed himself into human flesh. And when he did that so we wouldn't walk away from him. He did that so we wouldn't fly away from him. He did that so he can get close to us. So you can see his face. So you can see how God is. And I remember when, I honestly can't remember if Lisa sang it or she talked it. I don't know. But all I know is that she said something when we were at McKendry. She said that, can you believe that Mary kissed the face of God?
Yeah.
That still stuck with me. Can you imagine? I imagine holding Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is looking at me, and I will kiss him. And just imagine for a moment that you just kissed the face of God. Now you know that everybody loves to kiss babies. And every time you see somebody, mwah, 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 that's all you see is kissing on the baby. You know Mary kissed her baby. Imagine kissing the face of God, holding God in your arms. Here is the creator of all the universe, the world, and here it is, you got him in your arms. God is saying, I want to get close to you. I want to understand what's going on. Not that he didn't know, but he wants to understand what is going on with us. So here we have, let me take this next word, born. God is born. God is being carried in Mary's womb for 9 months. God's going through the process of childbirth, and we all know, we've seen it, heard about it, some have been through it or whatever. That is not a pleasant feeling. But we all seen it. So God being a baby, born, bawling, crying, all of that stuff. Got the, all of that. When a baby's born, got all that gook on them. The lady told me when Jeremiah was born, she said, let me get them cleaned up first. Let me get all this stuff off of them before you hold them. And what I'm saying is that God came through that way. Had all that gook on them and all of that. So if I had to write a story about how God came to live among us, I don't know if I would have did it that way. I don't know if I would have told the story about him being in the manger or him having the mother riding on the donkey and in the feeding trough and all that. I don't know if I would have put that in my story. I think I would have did it a better way. This is me saying, if this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know how we will write a book about ourselves or we telling a story. We like to fix it up. But here it is, God didn't fix this up. He told you how it is. So what I'm saying is that here it is, just goes to show you how much God wants to get close to us. So close he becomes one of us. He loves us so much that he went through extremes to make himself like us. He went through all of that. And as the shameful criminal dying on the cross, you know, it's not a good thing to have a criminal record. He's dying between two thieves. This man is Jesus is ridiculed throughout his life. He's ridiculed. They've been trying to kill him, but here it is. It's not a good thing when you're known as a criminal or have a criminal record, because nobody wants to be associated with you. But here he came down and took upon all of this stuff for us. This is personal. He is born into a family, a mother who held him, you know, to her breast. She loved him and cared for him. And like a mother does, a father who gives a godly role model to his son. Like a boy, Jesus grew up. He learned how to watch his father in the workshop, and he listened to his mother tell stories. What, you know, even though that stuff didn't really, he didn't need to know that because he already knew it. You know, it's kind of hard to get that in your mind, but, you know, she's telling them anyway. So God doesn't need any of that. It's not for his sake that he is born, but it is for what? Our sake. So God, who is without beginning, takes on now a beginning. God, who is complete, goes through the process of stages of growing up, learns from his teachers. God, who is eternal, cannot die, becomes human, and is subject to death. For unto you is born. The third thing I want to talk about is Savior. Man, let me tell you something. Everybody loves to be saved, rescued. When you are in trouble, you want a policeman to come and rescue you. When you are faced with danger, you want Big Brother to come and rescue you. Whatever form of rescue you're thinking of, we all want to be saved. Well, so in other words, God saw that we need a Savior. To you is born this day a Savior, a hero, someone that will come and deliver you from your mess. How many of us love to be delivered out of mess? Don't want to hear it? Don't want to be bothered with it? This child whom the angels announce is the one who will save you from the guilt that weighs you down and stops you from getting on. It just stops everything and makes everything better. He saves you from that nagging feeling that somehow you have to measure up, but knowing that there is no way you can meet God's standards. Jesus said, hey, you know, just come to me. He saves you from the meaningless existence if all there is to life is being born, growing up, learning, working, getting achievement, and having, and then dying. He saves us from the meaningless life of all that. If all you think it is just about working, you know, some of us, we just work so much that if we ain't working, we feel like we ain't doing nothing. Getting, achieving, all of that. To you is born a Savior who says your sins are forgiven. Have you ever went to a judge and he said that to you? I hope you haven't been before a judge for that. But to you, a Savior who says be healed. To you is born a Savior who says to the storms, you know, we face, be still. To you is born a Savior who allows his hands to be nailed to a cross to rescue us from our sins. To you is born a Savior who conquered the great last enemy every one of us would have faced. And that is death itself. So he gives us life that is the greatest miracle of all. He's given us life. Sometimes we look at our world, our lives, and wonder, what is going on? Why is life so confusing, so demanding, so difficult? When we look at the baby in the manger, we wonder why God will go to such extreme lengths for you and I. The answer is love. When you get somebody that loves you, you got somebody. But if you have never experienced love before, you will never know what I'm talking about. Jesus is God connecting with you, wanting to give your life purpose, wanting to help you when it seems life is tearing you apart. God can do without this. You can do without the little gift that people give you. You can do without that. Can you do without this gift from God? The answer is no. We cannot. To you is born this day in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. See, sinner doesn't, he doesn't even know your name. If you notice, oh, he can only say, hey, little boy, hey, little girl. That's all you ever hear him say. You don't ever hear him call the name because he doesn't know it. Jesus knew our name before we did.
Not only does he know our name, he knows our address too, he knows our history and our future, and he even knows how many hairs of hair we have on our heads. See, Simon, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but he lets you sit on his lap. You know, Jesus lets you rest in his arms. That's a big difference. You know, I don't want to be sitting on no man's lap. I'm just saying. I mean, that just don't sound right. You know, and then you take pictures, which is more insult, is that you're sitting on his lap, and then you take him a picture. You know, see, God won't humiliate you like that. It just won't happen. See, Santa comes, you know, well, I don't know if he comes down everybody's chimney, because some chimneys he ain't going to be able to get down, according to what they say he is. But see, Jesus stands at the door and knocks.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He stands at your heart, and he's knocking. And the thing about it, Jesus will keep knocking only until you let him in. He will not come in unless you open the door and let him in. But see, Santa comes invited. Uninvited. You know, come down your chimney. Who will come down your chimney? Jesus don't come down your chimney. He stands at the door. He's knocking. See, Santa puts, you know, supposedly, he puts gifts underneath the tree. Jesus became my gift and died on the tree. Big difference. See, Santa brings gifts, but Jesus brought the gift of life, of eternal life. See, Santa comes with his sleigh and reindeers, but I'm going to finish this out by, you know, saying, but Jesus is coming back with the mighty army to receive us into him, his bride, the church, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. Amen.